All right, we're going to talk about that nasty five-letter word, shame. Don't tell me you don't know shame. I know it intimately. Heck, I have shame right now. Who am I to do this podcast? How embarrassing that I'm sharing ideas and thoughts that could be wrong or stupid, or I don't know enough, or I'm sharing secrets from my life. Ooh, I had a bad marriage. How shameful. Ooh, I'm an imperfect person. How shameful. Of course, the person that makes you most aware of your own shame is your inner critic, that lovely person that lives in your brain and keeps you fully aware of everything you have done that failed, that didn't do well, even things other people see as successes. You know are shameful. Yeah, I published a book, but I fought with my co-authors. Also, the title is one that I hate. I didn't choose it. I'm so embarrassed it has that title. It's not long enough. It's not good enough. It didn't sell enough. These are all things I'm ashamed of. I'm ashamed that I'm not a best-selling author. I'm ashamed that I didn't dedicate my entire life to promoting the book. Shame, shame, shame. I'm ashamed for the books also that I've written but not published. I'm ashamed for the books I haven't written. So much shame. When we sit with ourselves in those dark moments of shame, we realize how lonely shame is. Now, I became an expert on shame after joining Toastmasters and after starting to teach other people public speaking. Yeah, I bet right now, public speaking, you're like, ooh, no, scary. I don't like it. Just those two words make people recoil, make your stomach tighten up. Your belly's like, no, no, danger, run away. Public speaking. Weirdly, for someone who's so entrapped by shame, I have no problem public speaking. I'll get up and I'll tell you anything to any size group at any moment. I'm happy to do that. I don't know why the rest of my body, the rest of my brain recoils from everything, but public speaking, sure, why not? To be honest, it's like an out-of-body experience for me. When I start to speak in public, I enter that flow state that Mikhail Csikszentmihalyi first wrote about and many others have written about since. Flow is when you lose that self-consciousness, you lose a sense of time. You are doing something but not aware of doing it. No, it's not the same as being drunk. That doesn't count. Think of flow as when you're dancing or doing your favorite hobby or reading your favorite book. That's flow. So yeah, I hit the flow state when I'm public speaking. When I don't hit the flow state is when I'm writing. Sometimes I do, but just for brief moments, because then the critic leaps in loudly. Oh my God, you wrote that? What right do you? You don't have enough degrees. You don't have enough evidence. You don't have enough experience. Your colleagues will read this and see you for the fraud you are. Your mother will read this and be hurt. Your friends will read this and be ashamed to know you. As a matter of fact, maybe you should just unfriend them all now and save them the work. Shame, shame, shame. And so shame keeps us kind of safe because we don't put ourselves out there. But it also keeps us really bored and boring. Imagine if Beyoncé had listened to her shame. Or if Obama had listened to his shame. Or if any great person that we look up to had listened to their shame and said, who am I? Imagine if the poet Rumi had said, who am I to write these poems? And they probably suck anyways. Gosh, we'd be so much poorer for that. Or if all the artists, especially the groundbreaking ones, had listened to their shame. And there was a lot of shame, especially projected at artists. When we look at people we revere now, like the Impressionists, oh my gosh, they were ridiculed. They were derided as people that couldn't paint, and that's why they painted like they did. And now we buy posters and hang them lovingly in our rooms and say we're so inspired by Monet. Imagine if he'd listened to his shame. And so we challenge ourselves. Stop listening to your shame. Start listening to your passion, your inspiration, your joy. Risk the shame. So what? Someone will laugh at you no matter who you are. Look at any internet forum, any social media. No matter how perfect someone is, someone will be against it. So don't worry about everybody liking you. This is not about that. This is about enriching your life with joy and risk. And when you fail, which you will, you pick yourself up, you say, yay, I failed. Because I tried. Yay, I tried. And did I actually fail, or did I, in those famous words, just learn one more way of not doing it? Did I fail, or did I succeed because I challenged? I tried to do something I didn't know how to do. Did I fail, or did I succeed because maybe I modeled to someone else that it's worth trying? Maybe I showed a child or a colleague or a friend that taking risks, getting into the arena of life, is in fact worth doing. Maybe I modeled that failure is okay. As you probably know, I'm a teacher. And one of the worst things that we try to teach our students is failure's okay. We say that all the time. And then, of course, we slam them with bad grades when they fail. But what if you actually modeled to someone that, yeah, failure is good. Failure is a way to learn. Failure is a way to enrich your life. I know we all want smooth and joyous lives, but imagine a life with no challenges. You'd be so bored. You'd be the queen in Bridgerton. You'd just be endlessly bored. There's nothing to overcome, nothing to do. So challenge yourself. Tell the critic to take the day off, pack her up a nice picnic and leave her in the corner. Or you can be like me. Sometimes I just tell my critic to fuck off. I'm like, yeah, thank you, fuck you. And I carry on. Sometimes I'm sarcastic with my critic. Ooh, thank you so much. Boy, your presence makes such a difference in my life. Too bad it's a sucky one. Whatever works for you. Maybe you can introduce your critic to a friend. And they'll leave you alone for a while. But to be serious, often I found just acknowledging that the critic's taking over makes a huge difference. So when I'm hit with a shame wave, when I'm feeling shamed, sometimes just naming it makes such a difference. I can say, oh, there's shame. Oh, there's the critic. Yep, there they are, just as expected. You know, just the way you do in your environment. You say, oh, there's the rainy season, or there's winter, or there's nighttime. Yep, there it is. That's part of nature. Shame, the critic, that's part of my nature. But don't let them rule you. Don't think that your entire world is dark just because night falls every day. Look at the sunshine. Look at the joy. Look at the things you do accomplish. And in most things, we don't have to be perfect to be good. We don't have to be perfect to enjoy them. I love pickleball. Am I expert at it? Not at all, not even close. Do I enjoy it? Absolutely. I love to sing. I sing only when I'm alone because other people don't love when I sing. Am I expert at it? No. Does it enrich my life? Absolutely. So give yourself the gift of telling the critic to shut up, of giving her the day off, and of letting shame just flow, but not being steered by it.